I walked past the TV a few months ago, and I'm just in my house, watching the TV's up here hanging. I'm like, ugh. Somebody was preaching. I'm like, ugh. And I didn't take two more sips. I'm like, all right, Lord, what is that? He said, envy. I'm like, no. But that's how easy it can be. It can be that easy when we start seeing that stuff, not being okay with it, and take it straight down. Because we know what Romans 12 talks about, and it says, talks about your life being a living sacrifice. And being transformed, right? We are in the time. We talk about, you know, there's people that are martyrs. There's people that, you know, somebody puts a gun in there and wants them to deny Jesus, and they don't. They get shot, or they're martyrs from another, you know, in another country where Christians are martyred. I'm not lessening that, okay? Don't want you to hear that, what I'm about to say. But we are in a time where we can put our life in the fire. We can put our life in the fire of Jesus and let him, like, lay our life down, cut our heart open, splay it open, and just let him dig around in there. And let him correct anything he sees that is not of him. It's not hard after a while, but it's that first, like, cut. When the Bible talks about our heart being circumcised, that's what it's talking about. Not our spirit. Our spirit doesn't need to be circumcised. Our spirit is full of Jesus. But that's talking about circumcising the flesh of our mind and our will and our emotions. So Satan does this trick where he sifts people. And with Eve, I just recently just saw this so clearly. What she had, what they had, was an open door to heaven. They saw things as heaven saw them.
Yes.
Honestly, I really believe that they had a free access to heaven.
Yes.
And when the Bible talks about that the garden was shut and the angel stood guard, I'm sure there was some place on earth where it was a point here, but I think the walking and the gardening, and I think it was a bilocation. I think they were equally at home in the heavenly. And that got closed off. But Jesus told Nathanael, now here's a man without guile. Or he said about him, what is that word guile? It's sneaky. Shrewd. Who did Eve listen to? What does that even mean in context, shrewd? Making something happen yourself. Doing the workaround. There were lots of workarounds. The Bible, lots of workarounds. Even Peter's reaction in the Garden of Gethsemane was a workaround.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't what Jesus wanted. And how many times do we do the workaround? God shows us some thing he wants to do in our life, and I mean, we take off running. We don't even know how to wait on the Lord. We don't even know what that means. Until you get into something that is literally impossible. Literally, humanly impossible. Let me say this. There's no financial thing that you can do that fits that category.
Yeah.
There's none. The things that are literally impossible for man to do, not medicine, not coercion, not nothing, no way. That's when you get into a place where you go, this is what waiting on the Lord feels like.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on him. I'm serving him with my actions if he tells me to do something. But other than that, I'm waiting for him to make the next move. And if his next move is to tell me to do something, I'll do that and then wait on him for the next one.
Yes.
That's... And in the meantime, being strengthened, at peace, in worshiping him. You can't live like that without being a worshiper. Because he's in charge. We don't really truly know how to let him truly be in charge of us. And that's where he's removing the things that want to make why we do what we do for this these reasons, the abandonment, the rejection, needing accolades, needing importance, you know, narcissism, all that stuff's all rooted in lies that came from the enemy. As he's burning this stuff out of us, it's this sifting. So Satan desired, he sifted Eve. And what he got her, how he sifted her, set us all up to have to win something back. But I really have come to see what she gave away. Is that what she saw didn't have any mixture of what the enemy could do. They didn't see they were naked. Why? Because they only saw the glory. They only saw what was in them coming out. And when she ate in the tree of life, just eating of the tree of life, what's going to keep coming out? Life. And that garden wasn't the whole earth. It was supposed to be, take this fruit of life, and as God fed them the tree of life, and eating of that, and eating of what he has to say, it just would expand. The territory would expand. Yes. So that how the garden operated would expand. Yes. But what she traded for was a mixture. Yes. Now, instead of just living as one with God himself, she has to choose between good and evil. Yes. She has to choose. And usually, we don't know how to quite come in and totally separate. Now, she sees the mix. And now she sees we're naked. Why? Because she's not seeing only good. And convert that into our times. Now, we have to see the cancer as well as what the Word says. So we see the good and we see the evil. And we have to, like, how did Jesus live? Jesus lived under an open heaven. He told Nathaniel, here's a man without guile. Why did he tell, this has been, why did he tell Nathaniel that? He never told anybody else that. Yeah. Now here's a man without guile. And he says to Nathaniel, from now on, he blessed him with something that we now have.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to learn how to walk in it, and we're going to have to be one with Jesus and without guile to walk in this way.
Yeah.
But he said, from now on, you'll see the open heaven with messengers going up and down upon the Son of Man. Ascending into heaven, descending back, getting what we need, coming back. I feel like he described what Adam and Eve walked in. I really do. I mean, yes, that can be angels, but it could be me too. I mean, I'm a messenger. I'm messaging to you today.
That's right.
Haven't you heard testimony of people going to heaven and hearing something from God and coming back? I mean, we see it. And then when when he was baptized, the heavens violently ripped open. And then when the Holy Spirit came, the violent sound of the Holy Spirit, of the heavens opening over us. So we live under an open heaven, and we have been.
Amen.
So something has to change, and we have to learn this oneness. I want to read to you because I'm running out of time. I had all these grand ideas, but... I want to read to you what the Lord said to me yesterday, and I believe it was, for right here. But this was, I wasn't studying for y'all or anything, sorry to say. I mean, I'm not sorry. I wasn't. I was just spending, you know, morning listening to the Lord. So here's what he said. No straining today. And I'm moving, and I have a bunch of stuff going on. I'm selling my house to start this business, and I have another business I've started, and I'm like, that's not been my gift. So I'm letting him make it my new gift. Because it's going to serve people. So he said, no straining today. I'm pouring. I'm not straining. I'm not straining my love out on and around you. I'm pouring. The peace, joy, self-control that flows out will be noticeable by others. Now, I have been dealing with some things about myself that I don't like. Just, you know, could be personality, could be there's still some lies or something that's in there, but just this follow through. I have great vision. I have great ideas, desires, heart, sacrifice, and getting stuff done. It's been a challenge for me my whole life. And you start feeling like you're just really lacking, and instead of thinking, okay, Lord, I'm lacking, fill it up, it's more, I'm lacking. I'm just not going to be able to, you know, the thoughts. Yes. But he's like, that's what he's trying to tell me here, talking about doing this in oneness. You've been pressing to receive change in the areas you're lacking, but I need you to hear this. This is so good. You don't need, I'm saying this to you, you don't need to receive more, but remove the blockage. That sounds so much easier. You know why that sounds easier to me? Because it's all about, he's already here. And it's all about bowing to him. It's not about me recreating me. Every quirk and lack in your personality, talent, skill, propensity is addressed in one or more of the fruit of the reborn spirit. Having me and the Holy Spirit in you gives you all the impetus and power to be complete. When you live with this in the forefront of your mind and you clear the portal and the gates for my power and grace. Now remember, grace is not mercy. Mercy is mercy. Mercy is you screwed up and now he's going to help you fix it. That's mercy. Grace is empowerment. I think that's the little piece. Times. Grace is empowerment to be different that comes from him. When he graces you, gives you grace, when he speaks to you and says, start a business, those words contain power, not an instruction. I mean, yes, it's an instruction, but it's an instruction for you to bow to the power that is in those words to actually get it done. That's grace. So you have all my grace behind you, in you, upon you, and I'm going ahead of you to knock down mountains. He said, be mindful. That isn't just an order, but an empowerment. You are mindful of me, of the Holy Spirit, today, and it will draw fruit out of you. So all those things that I'm thinking I'm lacking, I know the fruit of the Spirit, there's like two or three that would fix it, right? But the fruit of a spirit without clutter, a spirit without wood, hay, stubble, sycamine, all the double-minded things, the lies the enemy plants that creates this basket that puts a shield over the light that is in us that raises people from the dead. And think about this. That power raised Christ from the dead. That might sound easier to you than raising someone from the dead. But Jesus' spirit was in hell. And his body, ravaged worse than anyone's body, is, has been, or ever will be ever again. And yet that power that put those two together... Man, if you are in the position of raising somebody from the dead, please remember that. And please remember, if they're born again, their spirit's in heaven and their body's here, and bam, let's just do this. Why don't we believe this? What's wrong with us? I say that with a smile. What's wrong with us starts with us, and then it expands to knowing what everybody else knows. Have y'all ever listened to Dave? Help me, somebody. I'm going to give you a prize. You know, Dave. Ah, what's his last name? Yes, thank you. I'm going to give you $20. I'd give you $100 if I was Bill Winston, but I'm at the $20. Come see me after. Dave Hogan's raised like 38 people from the dead. One lady was dead for 3 days in the cooler. Anyway, we just don't know enough. So you see, there's so much. And he's pushing us. Y'all realize that, right? He's pushing you. And when he's telling me this, because I'm stepping out, I'm selling my nice, beautiful house and buying a piece of property because of this business he's told me. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to live there for a little while. I believe it'll not be a long time because I'm doing it because he's telling me to. And I'm excited about it. Don't hear me wrong. I'm just, Kim knows, I love, like, beautiful things. I like my French furniture, you know, all that. My daughter's like, what? We're what? But she wants a llama, so I said, well, you can have a llama out there if Jesus gives you one. No, but there's not even a pattern. There's no pattern for the business I'm about to start. It's a kingdom business. It's an end time business. And I already put some of my other savings into a streaming platform. I know you're going to hear about it. Called Banner. And even though in the past my idea was, I don't want to dilute this word of faith which I preach. I found out. Then when I listen to truth, the Lord sifts it for me. My spirit, the Holy Spirit in me, because I'm strong in Him. The Holy Spirit is the second witness to me for the truth. And when I'm listening to somebody, they may not know what I know. I don't need them to know what I know. But when they say something I don't know, my spirit, that's your answer. My spirit will leap. My truth is rooted and firm and it's unshakable. But what I err in, it is target practice. Actually, not practice. It is dead meat. It is dead flesh and it is going. And when I see it, and somebody's preaching, I see it, I get rid of it right then. It's exciting. It's freeing. And in that spot, in my heart, where that lie was, the truth of God just fills that spot up, making me stronger. I'm getting stronger. So my streaming company will be as many preachers of the word from one side of the spectrum of the body of Christ to the other side, the full spectrum, the full stature of Jesus is coming at us, y'all. We got to recognize him. And I'm going to bring it in under where we can listen to preachers and listen to what they know and listen to T.D. Jakes and Bill Johnson and Joyce Meyer. I don't have all those people, but I did get Bill Johnson and Kenneth Copeland. And think about the strength knowing this and that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of operations of healing. I didn't realize. I just thought it was how we did it. There's so many. And the strategist in me is like, the Avenger in me wants to go, why can't we just get all these together in the same room? Why can't we get all these operations of Jesus working at the same time? So that's what we're doing. But in that, it's very like, okay, this is Kim knows. I mean, I'm so grateful for her. Do you know how much stuff would get done at work without Kim? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Convention for super kids? Y'all should give her an offering, because that's why it happens. It's true. So the Lord does help you with people, but now he's refining me and making more demands on me and not just letting me dump it off on her. Then he says, so he started talking to me about Galatians, and I know I don't have time to read it today, but Galatians 2. Let me just go through some things that I pulled out of it because I wanted to read it to you, but I was reading in the Passion. Galatians 2. Don't turn your back on God's grace truth. When we start working at getting rid of the stuff ourselves, we start working on doing a business by yourself. This crazy thing. How many of you say, I know what she's talking about. God's put this weird, totally divergent path in front of me, and I'm 70 years old. You don't have to be that age. But how many of you know something like that's going on in your life where you're like going, what in the world? That is not how I pictured my life going right now.
Yeah.
Don't turn your back on what's in you to get that done.
Yes. Amen.
Kelly and your propensities, verse 20. My old identity has been crucified.
Yes.
Think about that. What is it? I think you know where you sin. That you know. But the places where we sin and we don't know it's sin, or we don't know we're sinning, the places that you can see that you don't like about yourself, think about that. I mean, how many of you have something that you feel like, man, if that just was not that way about me, this and this and this would be done already?
Right.
Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Your old identity is crucified.
Yeah.
That means that everything that was not put in there as a grace and a gift of Jesus was crucified. The essence of my life, I reframed these words for me to say it to him. The essence of my life, no, he was as him speaking to me. The essence of my life is that you live in me. I guess it was me speaking to him. I kind of switch persons, I'm sorry. The essence of my life is that he lives in me and through me. My life is empowered by the faith of Jesus. So not only can I have faith in Jesus for the life that he's already put in me, which is everything I need, I get to use his faith too. I don't know if there's anything left hard for Kelly to do but lay her butt down. Really. We just need to stop. You loved me so much that you gave your life for me and for this. He gave his life so all of this could come out of you. He gave his life so he could dispense his life into yours. We have got the taps so clogged up, and that is what he's dealing with. And I could go on, and you please go read 2, 3, 4. I can't quit reading. His grace is not minor. If I could do what he's told me to do, if I could change myself, if I could change my weak places, if I could change the propensities that I tend to in the natural, there would be no reason for him to die. It's foolishness. I said, if you're a gift I received, why would I think that living powerfully isn't and must be done in the flesh? Why would I think that how I live powerfully isn't a gift? Everything he's done for me is a gift. Why would I think that those hard places must be done in my flesh when I have a lavish supply? All of this is in his word. The Holy Spirit is literally God poured out to be seen. God poured out to affect flesh. We are supernatural children of God. It is time for us to be manifest.
Yes.
It's time for us to show. Let me tell you, then let me finish this thing about sifting. So Satan desired to sift us, and you can look He sifted Satan. He desired to, Jesus said. But I love, we need to think like Jesus was telling Peter. Peter said, look, I will die with you. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, you won't. I mean, we feel that. How many of us, I was talking about martyrs, how many of us feel like I would die for Jesus rather than deny him? But the same things that make our flesh weak about doing a business, a ministry, laying hands on people, whatever, believing God for something, believing God for our own healing when he clearly says it in his word and he gave you a word in your heart, and yet it's hard to not see the cancer. That is weakness. That is what Eve sold out and gave away. And so when we are weak in our flesh, we think we would die for him. But will we live for him? Will we live right now, all out? Will we cut ourselves open and let him clean us so we can really be a vessel? Will we do that? Because they're the same stuff that won't let us do that will also likely keep us from being willing to die for him. Sometimes, what? If you had a fear about your kids, would you not think about your kids if somebody tried to kill you? What's going to happen to my kids? You see, it's the same stuff. So Peter, Jesus says to him, look, Peter, when you're changed, he knew he would be. He had a plan for that. He wasn't disturbed that Peter was going to deny him. He prophesied to Peter, and he didn't even say. And if you think back, usually when he's talking to us, he doesn't frame it like, well, if you'll do this, no. He usually says, when you do this. Because he has a plan. And he's going to get us there one way or another. I want to go now. I don't want to be like run over by the devil 100 times before I finally get up and go, okay, I'm going to live for Jesus. But he said, when you're changed, you'll strengthen the brethren. What did he do? In the middle of that heartache, because Peter was fighting with his flesh, Jesus was telling him what was going to happen. And in fact, I mean, if you really love Jesus and Jesus says to you, I'm going to go over here and pray and I really feel like I'm about to die, could you pray with me? How many of you think, gosh, I feel like I could stay awake, right?
Yeah.
But he couldn't. Yeah. Why? Because he was fighting Jesus dying. He was fighting that word. He didn't want to hear it. He gave himself over to what the enemy was saying, which came out of his mouth, which is why Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. Satan was pulling him out way back when he started going a different direction than Jesus was telling them they were going. Jesus told them, the Amplified says in the garden, he said, if you would have watched with me, you won't even be tempted. If he had watched Jesus, he would have seen heaven open up over Jesus to empower him to do. And in that open heaven, he could have done what followed with Jesus. What we are in for right now, Jesus said, I started to say, how did Jesus do stuff? He only did what? What he saw. I've started to really take more literally what the word says. He saw something.
Yeah.
He heard something from heaven. He saw how things were.
Yeah.
Going back to how Adam and Eve lived, they saw what heaven says.
Yeah.
They didn't see what was really there and what heaven wanted. We've looked at it like that. As we're living this way and he's cleaning us out, the glory is going to come out. The heavens are open and we will see what the heavens are saying about this person, that person, you, your business.
Yeah.
But it's getting rid of the blockage.
Yeah.
Getting rid of our own power and just stepping fully into his power. This sifting is going on. I'll close it. this sifting is going on, and I don't want us to get confused. Satan is sifting. Satan has desired to sift us. What does he want? What did he want from Job? Curse God and die.
Yeah.
What did he want from Eve? I want to be your master. What did he want from Peter? He desired to sift him.
Yeah.
Peter became everything Jesus said he was. Satan desires to sift us. And I really believe that what he wants from us is to either, we may know better than to say it, but we can be motivated by this thought, and we can be affected by this lie that God is not faithful. And in these times when, I don't know how many people y'all have had to deal with dying or hurt, it's not just COVID. It's like, I'm like, you hear about something, I'm like, is that for real? Like, is that really happening? What in the world is going
right, yeah.
on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Satan has desired to sift us. And what is the thing Jesus talks about these days, these last days? Will he find faithfulness? Satan wants us to think he's not faithful. And he is faithful. And he is faithfully ridding us. And we don't like it. And it's easy to confuse the sifting, but Jesus is sifting. John said there's one coming with a winnowing fork. Think about sifting,
yeah.
sifting the wheat, sifting, and then the wheat goes to the threshing floor, and the threshing floor is uncomfortable. And so what's he doing? He's getting rid of the lies, and he's throwing those in the fire. And if we cooperate, it's much easier. But somehow, when we don't cooperate, those lies will pull us in the direction of Satan's sifting. And it can feel like Satan's the one affecting us in here, but it's not. We need to learn to differentiate between the two shepherds and the two siftings. It's painful to look at yourself. It's painful to see pride. It's painful. I remember the day the Lord diagnosed me with idolatry and pride and just stuff that I don't have time to go into. I don't mind going into it, but you probably have some of your own, so... But let me tell you what. So there's this sifting. This is what the Lord said to me. Well, first of all, he's the bread, right? He always said, I'm the bread, I'm the bread, I'm the bread. We're supposed to be just like him. What does it take to make bread? Wheat? Oil? Water? And one more important ingredient you can't do without. Fire. Heat. We are in the heat. We are in the fire. Malachi 4 talks about this oven. You put yourself in the oven and you are a martyr. You put yourself in this oven of the fire of the Lord Jesus. These are the people that it describes. And the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings and his beams. That word's like radiating light. And it talks about your enemies being burned up. And then it talks about you walking on your enemies or walking on the dust. Your enemies is not out here. The big enemies that are messing with us are right here. And he's dealing with them, and it hurts because we're very closely attached. But this is what the Lord said to me this morning, and I'll read this and we'll pray. Sifting is part of baking bread. He said, and then I heard this, you become the showbread. You. We are to become the showbread. And I didn't really have other than the Bible context of David eating the showbread and all that, I didn't really, what does that mean? So I looked up the word show, S-H-E-W. Listen to this. Establish the validity of something. Are we here to manifest as sons and daughters of God to establish the validity of the life of Jesus and what he did? He came to love them. He gave his life to love them. John 17 says they will know. We will be so one. that they, the world, will know that He loves them.
Amen.
When we love them, they're not going to see that we love them. They're going to see that Jesus, the validity of His love. To establish the validity of something by example, explanation, experiment. Are we afraid to experiment? I mean, don't be afraid to let your thoughts about heaven and God and how big He is wander with Him. Really, I was thinking about the impossible thing. I am believing for something that is literally impossible. It's, I mean, impossible. But there's only one thing impossible to God, and that is that He would lie. So if you have a word about something, drag that word back up, and when it looked impossible humanly, even almost humanly, dig that back up, because He is faithful, and He cannot lie. And we have His promise that of whatever He told you, and an oath that says, I can't lie. So I don't know what else we need. Be willing to think through. I start thinking about my dreams. My dreams that I want to do, and the company, and then this company, and this building, and this property, and this, all this stuff, ministry-wise. Bill Gates, people like that, they could buy and sell my dreams. I don't know how many times. Thousands of times, I guess. A, my dreams are not big enough. But that's not impossible. None of that's impossible. So I'm like, what's impossible for? Let me have something impossible. So I did get something impossible. So, to demonstrate, to establish, to prove, to show. Listen to this. To cause a person to see, or cause a person to be seen. That's what the show means. And showbread represented that God was the source for their nourishment and life. And we can eat and we can become. We eat the bread, we become the bread. We are supposed to show forth His praises. And we're headed there. And as we become one with Him, we will do mightier and greater things than even He did while He was here on earth. Because it won't be one person doing it. It will be all of us. And you know, when you get, He'll challenge your theology. I mean, I guess my left behind idea of rapture is like, I don't know. I'm studying all that right now because I'm like, we're not supposed to limp out of here and escape and leave the world in trouble. That's not what the word says. So what's my part in this? So if that's you and you're like, all right, Lord, I'm ready for whatever correction, fire, new place, new assignments you have for me, I want you to stand up. I'm just going to pray over you. And we're going to receive the fire. Because it's that fire. He's burning in us now. I mean, He's already been working on you. You know it. Now, maybe I've helped to kind of let you know who's doing the... Because Satan's pressuring from out here. But Jesus is pressing on His Spirit in you. That you would come up with that as your answer. That you would come up with that. That you would come up with Him as how you win. Amen. And if you want me just quickly to lay hands on you for fire when we're done, I'll just stand up here real quick. And I'm not going to pray over every person like with words, but I'm just, Kim and I'll lay hands on you for fire. Because I believe anybody that wants that can have it, and it changes your life. It changed mine. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we are Your people. And we bow before Your presence today, Lord Jesus. We bow our knee. We bow our position, we bow our pride, we bow our knowledge to the vastness of who You are. And we splay open, we make our life a living sacrifice, and we splay open our mind, our will, and our emotions, Lord. We ask You to remove anything, burn out anything, point out anything that is not of You. And Lord Jesus, we ask You to open our eyes to the open heaven. Open our eyes to our new identity. Who we are. Who we already are. Open our eyes to our assignment. The fullness of our assignment in these days. Help us take our eyes off of what everybody else is doing, Lord, and lock eyes with you so you can tell us what we need to change.